Welcome to Managing AML. My name is Jorge Cortez, and I would like to address an important issue on the management of patients with IDH1 or 2 mutations with some of these new drugs that are inhibitors of IDH. And it's important because two of these drugs, one an IDH2 inhibitor and one an IDH1 inhibitor, are already approved, and some others are on their way. And this refers to the fact that the responses to these drugs may take some time to occur. And it is important because patients need to be maintained on therapy. And I'll describe two scenarios that may represent clinical challenges that it's important to recognize and avoid unnecessary changes of therapy. One is the possibility of a patient showing an increase in the white cell count, even the blast count, during the course of therapy. And this frequently represents a differentiation syndrome. And many times it's associated with fluid retention, peripheral edema, hypoxia, etc. These can be managed with hydroxyurea to control the white cell count, with diuretics, with corticosteroids, sometimes a brief treatment interruption of the drugs, and then you can continue therapy. The other scenario is the patients that have only stable disease or perhaps just a minor improvement in the blast, but really have not achieved a complete remission after one cycle or two cycles. And we need to keep in mind that part of the effect of these drugs is, as I mentioned, some differentiation. So these take some time to occur. So the patients that have stable disease may later on, and sometimes very late, really evolve into a patient with a complete remission over time. So as long as the patient is stable and tolerating the treatment well, the best approach is to continue the treatment. There has been an analysis, for example, and this is with the IDH2 inhibitor, that on patients that have had a stable disease for 90 days, so have been 3 months on therapy and only a stable disease. And what this study showed, what this analysis of the pivotal study showed, is that among those patients, about 25 to 30% of patients eventually achieved a complete remission after the day 90, or at least a CRP. Another 45% of patients maintained the stable disease, so still were doing well with continuation of therapy, and some of them eventually may have progressed to a complete remission, etc. And only about a quarter of patients had progression of the disease after day 90. So this underscores that probably three quarters of the patients may still have clinical benefit, including achievement of complete remission, even if they've only had a stable disease after 90 days. So this is important to recognize and maintain the patients on the drug as long as they're tolerating it well and having, as I mentioned, a stable disease. I thank you for your attention.